And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. Although technically right now we are not in the underground. We are technically on ground. We are sitting on the ground in a park in Queens, 6 feet apart or approximately 6 feet, socially distancing because it's not safe to be indoors in the studio recording. So I'm here with a very special guest in the park, on the ground, here in New York City. What's up, Justin?
What's up, Joey? How you doing, man?
I'm terrible. How are you?
Oh, man.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm good, man. It's nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm glad
nice
you
can park.
Come. Yeah, this is a nice park. Yeah. I do want to say a couple of like warnings. There might be like crazy random sounds in the background. There's some birds chirping. There's some kids playing.
There's a train going by every 2 seconds.
There's a train going by relatively frequently, but we're relatively distant from the train, so it shouldn't be that much of an interference. But just to let you know, we are not in danger of being hit by a train, if that's what your concern is. Yo, Justin, what's going on?
Nothing, man. Just coming out here to see you. Been doing some interviews for the show.
You have a podcast called New Monuments.
It's called,
right?
New Monuments. Yeah, just started it.
What is the premise of the show? Because we're going to be talking about something. This podcast is being done in conjunction with a podcast that Justin did interviewing me.
Well, like a month ago?
Yeah, a little while ago. And you're about, it's up now. So when people listen to this podcast, you can go listen to that interview as well. What is the premise of your podcast?
So the premise of my show is that I am willing to ask the beginner questions of people that I respect and might not be familiar with their ideologies. So, like, I was introduced to you because of communism, right? Something I'm interested in but really don't know a lot about. Mm-hmm. So I wanted kind of like a 101, and that's like what my interview with you is like just give me like communism 101 and like what that means in America, in New York, in 2020, right?
Yeah.
I've interviewed other people about police brutality things. Yeah. I've interviewed trans people. I've interviewed just things that I don't know a lot about.
Some like beginner stuff.
And like, you know what? If people are scared to interact with people that these things have happened to or they have different lifestyles, let me do that and ask dumb questions. I'm not afraid to, you know, to be ignorant about these things because I am.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know a lot about these things. So
well, that sounds great. I really dug doing the podcast and it was a lot of fun. I ask people questions all the time, but I don't necessarily always get to talk about things like communism that I'm really passionate about. We never talk about on the show really. So I really appreciated doing that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Justin is on the podcast today because we're going to be flipping it around a little bit. I'm going to be talking to Justin about the moment that we're in. Obviously, there's this incredible, wonderful new progression of the Black Lives Matter movement and this anti-police brutality movement, this anti-police murder movement that has been going on all around the country. And Justin has thrust himself into the middle of a lot of this stuff. So we're going to be talking to him about what has changed in him or around him or in the world that has sort of encouraged him to take up doing a podcast about this stuff and act differently or do things differently. We're going to be talking about that on the first part of the podcast, sort of the ideas that are moving around and pushing us to think differently. What are those ideas and what exactly should we, you know, how do we interact with them? That's on the first part of the podcast. On the second part of the podcast, we're going to be talking about what to do with those new ideas that we have been getting down with. Justin is going to break down his very unique perspective on mental health and building up our side, the left-wing side of things, to get a grip with capitalism and these new ideas that we are getting down with.
Well, and a lot of it is figuring it out as we go, obviously. But yeah, I think well, we'll talk about in the second part, but just taking care of yourself is taking care of the community. So
that's a good way to put it. I appreciate the succinctness of that too. On the first part of the episode, I'm probably going to push Justin a little bit in ways that he doesn't want to get going, because I'm a piece of shit communist pinko fuckhead or whatever I am. I don't know, punk
asshole.
Be
nicer to yourself, Joey. See, I mean, this is what we're going to talk about.
People on this podcast are going to be hearing, they've heard this before, they know that what I'm saying is 100% true. But we're going to be pushing back and forth. Justin and I disagree on some things, and I think that that is a healthy disagreement. It's not a dysfunctional disagreement. In fact, I think actually in the second segment it's going to come out and be more clear exactly how our disagreements and how they make us do different things, you know.
Yeah.
because my interpretation of what we should be doing with the ideas that we have is different from Justin's, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing, and the fact that we both respect each other very deeply.
Well, and we're both on the left, so I think that'll tie into everything we're talking about, is just, you know, how we put our different views towards the same goal.
I think people, if they're really listening to what Justin is saying in this podcast, I think they're going to see and be confronted with some really interesting perspectives. So I'm really happy that you're able to and willing to come out and do this podcast.
Yeah,
Justin,
this is great, man. This is super fun, yeah.
So let's get into it. We're going to listen to some tunes. We're going to talk a bunch of shit. At the end of the podcast, we're going to have some ways for people to make sure they get down with this podcast and some other things that are going on. I do want to mention that there is a new compilation that just came out, just the other day. It is called Shut It Down, for people who are interested in the Black Lives Matter movement, who are interested in punk music. There is an exciting new compilation out there. So please, I hope people go check out that. It's a benefit for the Black Lives movement. The money is all going to Movement for Black Lives, M4, the number, not the word, BL.org. That's M like the letter, 4 like the number, BL.org. They can go to that and find out what the money is going to. A bunch of the songs we're going to be playing on the podcast today are from that compilation. My band All Torn Up is featured on that, along with, I think, 45 other fucking incredible bands. Tons of metal, tons of hardcore, tons of punk. So I hope people go check out that Shut It Down comp.bandcamp.com. Shut It Down comp.bandcamp.com. We're going to start off this episode with a tune from that compilation. I think we're going to listen to the first song on the album from a band called Minority Threat. This is called Punk Politics. And then Justin and I are going to talk a bunch of shit.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
All right, here is Minority Threat, Punk Politics. Get down.
Fighting over all this trivial shit. Arguments over who does this and that. Shining people without discourse. But you spread this when something real happens. You say you care. But your actions speak louder. Then you wonder why some people don't bother. We're supposed to be fighting for the same thing. But you're too concerned with punk politics. We're supposed to be fighting for the same things. But you're too concerned with punk politics. Don't lie and say you care. Only invested in punk hierarchy. Don't lie and say you care. Cause deep down you don't give a shit. You can fake it for everyone else, but I don't buy your bullshit. You can fake it for everyone else, but I don't buy your bullshit.
Thank you. What's up, Justin?
What's up, Joey?
How's it going, dude?
It's good, man. It's good to see you, dude. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming out and doing this.
No, for sure.
I want to remind people we are sitting in a park in New York City, so there are a lot of loud sounds. There's a subway rolling by every couple of minutes.
They'll forgive us the noise because they love us so much.
Yeah, and you know what? Justin was out here reminding me that it reminds people what it sounds like to be outside, which some people might be forgetting.
Yeah, no, some people on my show have been really like, hey, man, I really dig that you've been outside hearing the noises because, you know, a lot of people just been in their homes. I mean, we're outside, but, you know, so they were like, it's really good. It's really meditative.
Oh,
so,
good. Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe they like it.
I don't think a lot of people have been meditating in my show, but, like, you know, we're going to get extra uncomfortable in this one, so let's make it more calming with nature sounds.
Cool.
Yeah, there's some train sounds. There's some screaming children in the background. There's some what I assume is like an alien baby screeching.
I thought I saw one a second ago.
It might be a cicada. I don't know what that is. Nature's dumb and fucking disgusting, so... that's where we are. So we're gonna let's get neck deep into it because we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I want to talk about racism. I know you have been dealing with a lot on your podcast. What's the name of your podcast again?
It's New Monuments.
And it's called New Monuments because it's taking down old monuments.
Yeah.
And you've been talking to a lot of people who've been on this sort of like journey through anti-police brutality stuff or anti-racism stuff on your show.
The thing for my show is that like I don't know shit, and like I so I'm just trying. I'm like starting from negative two, basically. I'm like get me up to speed.
What do you mean you don't know shit? Because if I have you on a podcast and you start out saying you don't know shit, everyone's just tuning in off. Everyone's like, I'm not listening to this dude who doesn't know shit. I don't think that's true.
It's not that I don't know shit. I think willingly tuned out.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is how the world is. The world fucking sucks. I don't agree with it, and I'm going to keep living. So how do I do that? And I did that by just not paying attention.
And ignoring the systemic problems we see all around
and
us.
That sounds really shitty. And it is really shitty.
Well, we're going to get even more into that, whether that's shitty or not. But I do think that is knowing something. So that on this show, on this podcast, we really try to deal with perspectives. And here you are, Justin, you're dealing with this perspective shift, right? You're changing the way you're looking at things. Is that a fair way to put it? Uncomfortable when I say that.
No, I wouldn't say I'm changing the way I'm looking at things because it was more about getting along. It was like it felt like there was nothing to do about these problems. That's how I felt. It was like I was aware all these problems were out there. I just nothing can happen with this. You know, there's nothing for me to do. I felt completely beat down. Now I feel like there's something to do for some reason. So
I see. But, you know, maybe not for you, but for a lot of people out there, and I think a lot of folks who are listening to this podcast, family and friends, like people we have known for a long time, or even in the mainstream media, you hear people like dealing with racism for the first time in a long time. And I hear pundits on major media outlets talking about systemic racism for the first time. They're talking about it ignorantly still. I listen to all these fucking podcasts. I'm like, okay, you're really not dealing with this. What is systematic racism? And yes, we are two white dudes talking about this stuff. But there are white people coming to grips with the fact that they live in a racist system that has racism at its crux and have essentially come to grips with racism for a long time. So my question to you is, for those people, and maybe for you, do you think making peace with a racist system, which you did admittedly on some level for some time, is in itself racist? Like, is it? And I know that's I'm not trying to like back you into a corner. I'm just trying to drill down deep into these questions. And it's going to be uncomfortable for you, and I think for other people to think about these things.
Yeah, I mean, of course it's racist. Thinking that there's nothing that you can do is racist. Thinking that you don't have to help people is racist. Thinking that I didn't think that I was not responsible or not complicit in it, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the worst thing that there is.
I know when you talk about this stuff, and I know because of the things you do, you are happy doing the things you do now. Like you're happy in this confrontational moment that you're involved in, and you have worked really hard to seek out active voices. I know you before you said you had Juanita Young on your podcast. Juanita Young is an outspoken, dedicated activist against police brutality. Her son, Malcolm Ferguson, was killed by the police many years ago.
In 2000, I think.
She has dedicated her life and put her life in jeopardy many times fighting it. And you had her on the show.
As of now, I haven't aired the Juanita's episode.
But I do think it's you said on one side, you know, you don't think you've changed in essence. You have changed your perspective. But on the other side, you're sort of acknowledging that, like, coming, accepting or tolerating a racist system is racism. So you have in some ways changed your perspective.
I think I was just so beat down.
Yeah.
You know, it's that hyper-normalization thing. I think we were talking about that. It's just like I just accepted how shitty everything was. Yeah. And the only way for me to wake up and go to work every day and do anything was just to accept it and go about my day. And I think I was trying to make everybody's day easier by going like, hey, you know what the best thing you can do right now is not fucking pay attention.
Yeah.
As shitty as that sounds. I know that sounds shitty, but that's what worked for me. Was just like, I'm not, and it helped me get here, I guess,
yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah, get through some tough spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there something in your mind that you feel like really captures that moment? Like, and can you think back to a moment where you know, you're not a bad guy. You're a good guy. You see the racism. You see these things, and you just looked at it and said, you know, I just have to figure out how to get through this stuff. Is there now, looking back on those things, something you look back on and be like, yeah, man, this is maybe a good example of
what I should not have overlooked. I'm from Texas. I'm Jewish. There aren't a lot of Jews in my neighborhood. And I was a bartender. So, but you know, I'm covered in tattoos and stuff. So I don't think I look like what people think a Jew looks like. I always tell people it was like being undercover as a bartender. Cause like a lot of, you know, times people get 2-3 drinks in them and they start, you know, saying really dumb anti-Semitic shit.
Wow.
And I would just kind of be like, I would kind of like have a laugh to myself about it. Like, oh, they don't know who they're talking. But I would never say anything.
Yeah.
I would never say anything. I would never be like, hey, I'm Jewish. What do you think about that? You know? Mm. And now I would absolutely say something.
Yeah.
So I think I just put up with it, and I just kind of certainly wouldn't do now.
Yeah. Do you regret not saying something?
No, because I don't think it would have done anything. Yeah. I really don't think it would have done anything. I don't know. I do think it's a different world now. You know, there's everybody's in the streets, like everybody, or they were. As what's the date today? What's the date today? It's November.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Fourth, fifth?
It's not November yet. Oh, but yeah. It's getting there.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Oh, November is going to be its own thing. It's September 4th or 5th.
Yeah.
So it's 2020. So, you know, so much has changed. The world's changed 3-4 different times. I would say the world changed with coronavirus and then George Floyd and then Kyle Rittenhouse. I say the world's changed 3 times in this year.
Yeah, and maybe more so because people are really paying attention more, you know, now more than ever. So you don't look at it like you have changed so much. You look at it more like because the world has changed, it has put you in a position to act differently or think differently.
I saw this thing about, and maybe this relates.
Okay.
I saw this thing about the real leaders are, so there's like a lone crazy person, right? Like you see a guy, the video I saw was like this guy dancing on a beach by himself. And you see this lone crazy person, and they're just a lone crazy person, even though you think that they might be, you know.
Yeah, nuts. Yeah.
So, but then this one guy got up and started dancing with him, and then another person, and then another person. And so the real leader is the first follower.
The first person to get up and looks kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, yeah, because one.
Oh, the first follower is the person who got up and got down with this guy.
Yeah, right. So they said. And they had, I think they wrote a book on this. And that was the thing they said. They said the first leader, or the real leader is the first follower.
Yeah.
Because you just see this lone nut. And if nobody,
but the
person that's taking the chance is the person going, you know what, that looks okay. I'm going to do what that guy's doing. I felt like I never wanted to be the lone crazy guy standing up for anything.
Yeah.
So I think with the rest of the world standing up, it made it easier for me to be like, oh, this is okay.
I see. It opened it up for you a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is tough. Oh, God. I mean, it has been tough to, Yeah, it's definitely been tough when the rest of the world hasn't been so interested in standing up to be out there, the crazy person dancing on the beach. That has been unpleasant at times. I'm not saying I'm the only person who's been out there dancing on the beach, but it has been unpleasant in certain situations to like lose family and friends and people you thought, you know, good people. They're just not happy with what you do with your life.
You know, no, I'm envious of you. Yeah, I'm envious of you in a way because I've always been too scared to really stand up for myself and like so beat down by whatever is going on that I wouldn't do it. And now I don't feel so beat down.
Here's my question for folks out there who are coming to see this world in a different way and start who are like getting up and dancing for the first time, right? Like to me, as someone who's been doing this for a long time, and I don't mean to use that as saying like, oh, look at me, because I have my own problems and things like that.
Yeah, totally.
But what I do mean to say is I feel like anybody who's getting up now and dancing has got to come to the realization, like a truth and reconciliation commission, like, you know, South Africa or like some other places where incredible injustice has been perpetuated. We have to come to grips with the fact that the ideas that have gotten us to the place we're at have changed. Like we are not only is the world changing, but we're getting up and doing something different with our lives. And to me, it seems like I have had to do that in order to make the changes that I believe are necessary in my life real. I've had to like sit down and be like, okay, what am I getting rid of in my ideas? And what am I like trying to cling to? Or like, who have I been for a long time? And who am I right now? And like, who am I trying to become? Like, or like in a different way to put it is like, where have I been and where am I at and where am I trying to go? Like, in order for me to really grab hold of and grasp the person that I want to be and the thing that I want to become, I have to admit that I have not been that person. And I think that a lot of white people out here have to go through that very painful process of admitting that I am changing, that I am becoming something new, that I want something different than I wanted before. Because if we don't do that, and we should always be doing that, but if we don't do that right now, this moment won't last. Because this moment won't become a movement unless we see that we weren't moving before. And something beyond the situation has changed. We have changed.
Yeah, I think...
I could be wrong, though. Break it down for me here.
I don't know. It's...
You can call me an asshole, too. People are used to that on this podcast.
Nah, I'm not going to do that yet. I think that people have to want to do that, though. You know, it's like...
Sure.
So who are the people that are going to be, like, you know, having the hard conversations with themselves? That's the part that I'm having is how do we get people to do that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the people that want to do it probably have been doing some form of it or, you know, like... Maybe I wasn't standing up when I needed to, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's see. I mean, there are a lot of people out here. You know, I've had a lot of suburban white folks who I've known in my past or whatever have hollered at me through this process and been like, yo, I did not know how bad it was. I didn't understand fully what all of this meant. I've seen a lot of people come forward. I think that they do want it. I think that there's this moment now where they can reflect and see the things that they want. They want racial justice, even though it doesn't necessarily benefit them in terms of their privilege or in terms of their life, but it benefits them in terms of justice. They want something new. They don't just want something that benefits them directly or like one-to-one, right? They want a deeper sense of what benefits them, like justice.
Yeah.
And I think that we can help people by helping them, you know, we can confront them and say all the fucked up things that they've thought or whatever and all that those things too. We can confront the folks in the bar who are coming in, getting drunk and saying fucked up anti-Semitic things. We can do all those things and maybe we should and maybe we shouldn't. Those are good questions. But let's say that someone is coming into the bar and saying, you know what? I think maybe there is a reason we should be acting on the anti-racism that we see. We should be doing something about it. Shouldn't we, in order to like make that stick deeper, what do we have to do? I mean, that's a question. I guess that's the question.
Yeah, I mean, that, like you were talking about on my show, my interview with you, is organizing. I think that's the biggest thing right now. I think our side doesn't know how to organize, and I think that that we tear our own side apart before we even have a chance to to have something called Our Side. Mm. So I think the best thing to do right now is to lift each other up and to not tear down the people that like aren't getting it right.
Yeah.
You know, the people. Mm, that's, okay,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You remember the Instagram thing when everybody did like the black box thing?
Yeah.
And people were just ripping
it. It was like Blackout Tuesday.
It was one of the first things. It was like right after George Floyd. Mm-hmm. And all these people did it. And then people just like ripped them a new ass.
Yeah.
For like, oh, you're not doing this right, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, man, they're just putting their toe in. Let them do it, you know? Like, maybe it's not the perfect thing to do. Maybe it's, just virtue signaling.
Or whatever.
But it was like, I think a lot of people got that were like, just like, hey, I want to do something. They got turned off so quick, you know? So like the people that, there's a book written by a white person, like, is it White Fragility something?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what
you're
talking
about.
And people
like made fun of this, people that were buying this book, and it was like, hey man, they're trying, so they didn't get it right. But like those people that are, they're going to get so turned off. So I think the best thing to do is like, instead of making fun of these people, making them feel stupid, you got to make them feel like, hey, that's okay. Mm. Try this, this, and this next time instead of making them feel dumb.
That's a good point. You know, there is this delicacy. I don't even know if that's the right word. I might just be talking about deli meats. There is this delicateness of like having to deal with people who are coming to grips with something that has changed in them or in society. There is a delicate element to it.
Yeah,
for sure. And like pushing people beyond something they're comfortable with is necessary on one side, like we talked about earlier, but also like making sure that they can handle the change that there is coming their way is important too. There is this balance, you know, constantly.
I think the thing I want to do with my show was I wanted to be dumb for everybody else. Mm. I was like, you know what? I'll go out and be dumb, you know? So like, I'll take those hits for the people that put up the black box and felt stupid, the people that are reading the wrong books, you know, let me go be that guy.
Yeah.
Cause like I'll go get yelled at by people that I don't know that I'm asking questions and asking the wrong questions and using the wrong pronouns and all those things. Like, let me get yelled at so you don't have to.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to do.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
Yeah.
On this podcast, I'm dumb just because I am. So it's nice to know that someone's doing it intentionally. That's way more.
I wouldn't say I'm doing it intentionally, but just acknowledging it.
I do think we're gonna get to action in a second here because that's something you're hot to talk about, and I think it's important for us to talk about.
Yeah.
I do think that folks out there, I'll say it like this. I do think people need to come to grips with these changes, and that means uncomfortable conversations that make people feel they realize that they're doing something different, and that can be uncomfortable. When I really got down with communism, I'm a communist, and I was really getting down with communism. I remember having a conversation with this guy who was organizing with me and helped train me to become a communist, and it was really hard. It was like, you know, one day after another of like admitting that you've been wrong your entire fucking life, which is exhausting and painful. And you go into this like emotionally and intellectually, going to this place of like, you know, I'm not really changing who I am. I'm just like calling it something different. And now I'm a communist. I could have called myself that before, but I didn't. But and he's like, he sat me down. I was like, you're changing your ideas.
Yeah.
You need to come to grips with the fact that you're changing your ideas or they're not going to stick because you didn't think this way before. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in who you were, but there's a lot of pride in who you're becoming, right? There's a lot of pride in the fact that you are not just going with the mainstream of things and you're growing and changing and you should feel good about those things, but you have to, in order for those things to stick for more than just a moment, for more than just a Facebook post or an Instagram post, you have to come to grips with those things. Otherwise, the folks out there who do want something more, they're not going to be able to hold on to it because it's going to slip through their hand like sand, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that there is this balance, you know, what you were talking about. Like, you have to be able to help people not feel stupid, but at the same time, you know, organized. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is an incredibly fine line between, well, I think first of all, like, you know, you have these beliefs, right? Yeah. And you're like, you know these beliefs, right? So even if you were calling them something different or calling yourself out, that's one thing, but a lot of people aren't so sure.
Mm.
And I think it's so good to like recognize the seeds of these things and just like help people along instead of, I don't want to make my own side feel dumb anymore because there's no time for that.
How do you think? Let me ask this, and we're going to go to the action side after this, and I won't put my bullshit ideas in involved it. Justin, how do you see people changing their ideas? So let's say not you, but other people.
Yeah.
How do you think people change their ideas?
How?
Yeah.
Like
in what way? Like, what does it take for someone to change their thoughts?
I think the first thing that gets people to do it is it happens in their own family. There's a Chris Rock skit about if you don't like gay people, your son's going to be gay, you know? And so like if it's in your own family and you care about your family, that's, you know, what this is.
Yeah. Most people do, I guess.
Yeah.
Suckers.
So you know, your close friends or something, I think that's changes people immediately. You know, they're like, oh, this can happen to me. And now how do I deal with it? And I'm still going to love this person because I can't help it. Right.
So there's like a personal element of it. Like people change because it personally affects them.
I think so. It's hard to. So finding what does that, finding like the closest thing to them, you know, so many people are so separated from any of these issues. Why would they care?
Yeah.
You know, it's they probably a lot of people probably don't even know a black person.
Yeah.
Probably don't even know a gay, or, you know, they think they don't, you know, a gay person, you know. So it's like. It's not even real to them. So that's what it is making it real to these people.
Making the idea real, making the thing.
Yeah, making it and bringing it close to them.
Because otherwise it's like abstract and distant.
It's too abstract.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And doesn't feel like it's part of their life.
So.
Okay.
However you can do that. And then with Nazis, you hit them with a brick.
Yeah. I guess there's changing ideas and then there's people who can't change.
Yeah.
And those, you know, people get bricked.
I mean, there's that dude that goes out and talks to KKK people, right? And he's gotten 200 or so people to drop out of the KKK. He goes and has coffee with them.
That's a strong cup of coffee that makes someone and it makes someone realize that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but that guy knows his shit, you know. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing. He's man, that must be one of the, like, that guy must have the most amazing demeanor of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we're not dealing with, you know, here's the thing. We're not dealing mostly with KKK. I guess unless you're in Florida and Tennessee, you're not mostly dealing with the KKK. We're dealing with like a different, more covert, more subtle, more palatable to like a privileged person who believes in some sort of like fictional ideas of America. We're dealing with these ideas of, you know, of racism for them. And it
has a better face on it. Yeah. And I think that is worse and more.
You could shoot a Klansman. That's clear. You know.
They're wearing a hood. Yeah. You know, they're wearing the uniform. So it's like the people that you talk to and that are hiding it. I think that's a lot more dangerous. Yeah. So I think it is a little harder up here in New York where we are. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it's difficult. It's a different situation, you know, and I think that's where a lot of the confrontation comes in. And maybe I'm just used to being more confrontational because I feel like, you know, most people aren't wearing hoods. Most people are in denial of who they've been and what their ideas are and what they're serving, what those ideas are serving. So I think unless people are really pushed to the limit, you know, and this is a moment where people are like touching those ideas. They're like, they're seeing them a little bit. They're seeing things like that are called systemic racism. They're seeing that American dream has been a nightmare since the beginning. They're seeing those things, but they're not like dealing with what that means to their lives. So I think in order for people to change their ideas, they have to be pushed. And when they are hungry for justice beyond themselves, that's a moment to push them. So like I'm eager to push people, and that's what it's taken me. Like I've had to be pushed. That's, I guess we're dealing with this contradiction between like real, what is real in people's lives, and then ideas, you know, because I have been dealing with ideas for a long time. I love ideas. Ideas change me. But I don't think ideas in the abstract mean a lot to most people. They ignore ideas. They numb themselves from ideas. They run away from ideas.
Well, I was talking
so
to my
complications.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. No. I was talking to my friend.
You got
to
cut me off, Justin. Oh, okay. We're never going to get. All right, I'll just talk all fucking day.
So I was talking to my friend Andrew, who's 20, And he was talking about, you know, having all these ideas. And he considers himself a communist since he was like 15, 16, right? So very young. And I think he's seen so much in that amount of time that I think action seems real to him. Whereas to me, like, ideas, all of these things weren't, they were just academic. They were purely academic. People get into, you know, idealistic arguments about, you know, different ideologies, and it just seems so abstract that there was nothing to do. So yeah. I think Andrew being 20 is like, oh, all this stuff has happened in my life, and like, there's something to do with these ideas. To me, they were just about arguing at the IHOP at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
having too many cups of coffee and a lot of cigarettes, you know? So yeah. I think there's always been nothing to do. And I think that's why I changed, is because now it seems like there's something to do about it.
Let's take a break here. Let's listen to a tune, and then we're going to talk about what to do.
Cool.
All right, get down. All right, let's take a little break. Let's listen to a tune. Justin, what song do you want to listen to?
World Destruction by Time Zone. Time Zone was a... it's John Lydon, formerly Johnny Rotten, and Afrika Bambaataa. Do you know the song?
No, I don't know the song.
Oh, man. It's a dancey tune about the end of the world, you know? So we could all use that right now. All right.
Sweet. Yeah. So here it is. Time Zone.
Yeah.
Get down. All right, what to do? So we talked about ideas. We talked about change. Yeah. We talked about confrontation. We talked a little bit about getting to the center of it. And let's talk about what to do. You know, I think there's a lot of shedding of privilege. I don't like that word. I feel like that word is a weird word.
It's one of those words that's, I call it like a shut the fuck up word. Like somebody says that in a conversation to you or calls you that, there's nothing you can do. They've put down what they think you are.
Yeah.
And the more you talk about it, the more privileged you're going to sound.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's why I think it's sort of a dangerous word, because it's like...
Dangerous in what way? Dangerous because I'm not even sure if you think it's a good thing or a bad thing to say.
I think it's a correct thing to say. I don't think you should say it at somebody. You know, I think you're right, because like I know I have privilege as a white dude, you know, but the second you're like, oh, that's your privilege talking.
Yeah,
if somebody ever says that to me, I'm like, I'm just gonna walk away.
Yeah,
because
it puts people on the defensive in a way that they don't know how to respond or deal with.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that we need,
and that's
to,
probably my privilege that allows me to do that. So
yeah, totally. And you know, this is stuff we have to deal with. I think like maybe this is the ideas conversation spilling over. It's hard for me to deal with like what to do and ideas, because to me a lot of these things mix together. To me, like, people can, you know, they have ideas, they change, and they live those ideas every day. Like, you are an embodiment of your ideas. You go out and you carry out in your actions all of your ideas. Those any actions you take are going to be imbued with all of your ideas. Like, you can't.
I hope so.
Yeah. You have to. You can't. There's no way you can't do anything about it. There's nothing you can do.
You know, sometimes, you know, I do stuff that, I guess that's ideals. You know, I do stuff that conflicts with my ideals, and I'm like, why the fuck did I do that? Why did I say that? What
do you do that? Do you go back and like reflect on that and like ask yourself that?
If I think I fuck up real bad, yeah. Or you know,
but those are ideas then, because then you then you're like taking that and you're thinking like, wait a second, I didn't embody my ideas there.
I think I find a lot of, you know, being a bartender, you see people get drunk and they just lose who they are every night.
Yeah.
You know, so it's being able to be on top of your ideas and knowing if you are embodying them or not. So,
Man, the drunk question, I'm going to put that off to the side for a second because, I don't, you know, the sober guys don't know how to respond to those things.
Right.
But ignoring those folks, although it's important to talk about, and just for now, let's ignore those folks. This question of privilege, what do we do in order to get people to shed? Is it about shedding the privilege? Should we be doing something else? Well, I think that word privilege, by the way,
you can't shed privilege.
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, I don't think not. I think the goal is that privilege doesn't exist.
Mm.
But if you do have privilege, you have it right now.
Yeah, it exists.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not talking about ignoring it, but like let's take. I can't believe I forgot his name. Anthony, I believe his name is Anthony, the young man who took a skateboard to Kyle.
Oh, Huber.
Anthony Huber.
Yeah.
Here's an example of someone I think who, you know, he was a young white dude. I think he was a white dude at a Black Lives Matter protest who saw something fucked up. A scary, fucked up dude with a gun shooting at people, and took his privilege, his empowerment as a white person to be like, I need to do something in this moment. There's privilege involved in that. There's empowerment. There's an element of like societal saying that white men can do something about these things. And he went and hit this guy with a skateboard and got killed because of it. I think it was using that. I'm not saying I don't like it, the idea of like using privilege for something either, but it's like he's shedding it in the sense that he's like going out and doing justice with that for not just himself.
I think, that is, you know, it's the your weakness is your strength thing, and I guess your strength is your weakness, and this, you know, so he was up front.
Yeah. There you
go. He was close to the shooter, you know, and I think that's probably because maybe being white, he thought he wasn't going to get shot.
Yeah.
Somewhere
white
in there.
Dudes just gather together too. I mean, we see this all the time. These fucking they just fucking flock together like birds.
We're two of us here right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so maybe he was up front and could be defensive, could try to defend everybody because of that privilege.
So what should people be doing, Justin? Like in terms of what you see, I see it as needing in part to shed their privilege or at least confront those ideas. But, you know, we're not here to talk about me, my bullshit, because everyone can hear that every day. What do people need to do in order? What do people need to do? You know, what do you think people need to be doing? We talked about confronting racism. We talked about ending systemic racism. We talked about ending police brutality. What do you think people should do? Tough one.
Yeah, I think I shouldn't be saying this because I don't want to do this for myself, but I think people should be arming themselves.
Yeah.
We talked about when I interviewed you for my show, you said that you were not for nonviolence.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. I was smart to say it that way.
I don't want to own a gun because of mental health things.
Yeah.
But I think other people should do. I think people should do that. I think people should be organizing and stop fighting about all this. I think on the left we always want to label shit, and I think people just start arguing about labels so much. I think just the left needs to be the left, you know, and stop being so divisive about smaller things.
Yeah,
and figuring out how to organize, figuring out tactics.
But let's put aside the guns and the tactics for a second. Yeah. We can come to those. I hate when people put those aside for too terribly long, but let's put those aside for a second. What does organizing look like for you? Like, what is it? What do you think it needs to be? What form is it? You're talking about organizations? You're talking about protests? You know, like, you're talking about...
I mean, this is the thing that I'm trying to figure out for myself right now, too, because I wouldn't say I'm organized. I wouldn't say I'm part of an organization. I'm trying to figure it out right now, what the best way to go about that.
Well, let's go through the baby steps.
Yeah. I do think that this is there's a lot of this, like, have conversations with your racist family members, talk to them. I think that the time for that is done. I think stop arguing. I think the most important thing is strengthen this side, whatever that means to you. Like, hold, you know, people that keep posting, like, Trump's latest fuck up. It's like, you know, Trump's a fuck up or not at this point. You know, there's not going to be some magic Trump thing that he does that's so fucking awful that you're finally going to get the other side to wait. They love the awful things that he does. That's why they like him, because he's awful.
Yeah.
You know, so why are we still making fun of him?
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you don't know he's an idiot at this point, you know, why am I talking to you?
Yeah. There's no way to get around that.
So I think stop arguing and talk to people on the left more. And build them up. Make them feel good about what they're doing. I think we've been tearing down our own side for so long. I think that's the worst thing we can do. So I think that's the number one thing. Before guns, before organizing, I think is like build people up on this side. Make them feel good about the choices that they've made that got them here.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to put it. So you're talking about, look, there's a division that is real in the world.
And yeah.
What we should be doing is not dealing with arguments against the backward side of things.
Yeah.
The right wing, the fucking Trumps, the Republicans, whatever else. Like, that is what it is. Well, and we shouldn't be arguing with them, and we shouldn't be arguing with ourselves, because it's futile.
Yeah.
There's no point to that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get a better sense of, like, what that would look like to you. Like, how should we... Yeah, I like this idea of building up. I think empowering is we talk about it endlessly on this podcast. Empowerment, empowering people around us, is really the crux of everything we do in the punk community. I think that's what is so important to us. But what does it look like to you to be building up and not arguing with leftists? God, I don't want to talk about it too much because we have talked about it on the show a lot. But there is, like, for good reasons and for bad reasons, that leftists want to argue over every minute piece of bullshit. It's like, that's not that's not the world we live in, dude. You know, we can debate this when we have state power.
I think that's part of the old world that I was talking about before, is like the arguing and stuff. And because to me, that there wasn't anything to do, it was so abstract that there was so much room for argument. There was so much room for, well, I believe this, I'm going to read this. Now I think it's the time for arguing is done. So let's just make each other feel good. Mutual aid is a concept that's new to me and is crazy to me. And because I think it's crazy, it must be.
Why is it crazy to you?
Because I've been wrapped up in American individualism my whole life. That, like, don't ask for help. Asking for help is weak.
Interesting.
So that's such a hard concept for me. So I know that it's right. I know that it's correct. You know, like I'm like, oh, mutual aid is the way forward. It's so hard for me to, you know, like when people are posting people's like people's Cash Apps and Venmos on like, hey, help this person out. That to me is nuts.
Yeah.
It's not, but I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, hey, if I need some shit, I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So I think mutual aid is like, just get comfortable with that idea. Get comfortable with asking for help, because I know I'm not comfortable with that, you know? And I think help each other with mental health. I think those are things that we can do for each other. You know, I've got a friend now that like we text each other every day, like, hey, how you doing? But it's not like, how's the weather? What'd you watch last night? It's like, how's your head today?
Yeah.
And that's been really helpful. I think those things are just like little building block things that you can do for each other.
So I'm just trying to get a grip of what you're saying here.
Yeah.
So instead, to you, organizing, doing is less of an issue of confronting things and more of an issue of supporting each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's more of let's get together and undo the things that capitalism has done to us.
So
interesting.
I took this computer class like back before everybody had a computer when I was in high school. I'm 38, right? So computers were just like getting in the rich kids had computers when I was in high school. I didn't have a computer. And the guy teaching the computer class was talking about like the old people in his, like the real, you know, like the senior citizens in his class or that he would go teach. He said the first thing he always did was he showed them the power button. And because he said this was really hard for, because he would have to show them the power button, and you never use a power button on a computer. You turn it on one time, and then the way you turn it off is on the computer itself, right? And he was like, that was the hardest thing for these senior citizens to get a grasp of, like that you don't touch the power button, you know? Because before, it's you have a record player, you have this machine. Machine has an on-off button. Computers don't do that. So he was like, he made a big deal of this is the first step, and you have to unlearn on-off, you know? So to me, learning on off in this situation is just getting people to feel good to get out of bed every day and to make these decisions. So like, how are they going to feel good? They're going to feel good knowing that their community is looking out for them and that they can help other people and their mental health is real. Because I grew up that wasn't a real thing.
Totally. I struggle with that question all the time for sure. Yeah. And that's a big problem, you know, on the left too.
Is depression real? Is anxiety real? And, you know, so like that's get people acknowledge that, to admit it and to be okay with it and to help each other out with that. So it's just like we can't even, in my mind, we can't even get to organizing without tackling the on off button first.
What does that look like to you, like in a functional way? I know you're just starting on this journey and you have a podcast and like we said earlier, new monuments. But like, let's get fanciful for a second.
Okay.
Like what would that look like, you know, in the relatively near future? First of all, I don't even know, when people tell me that they're not feeling good mentally, I don't even know what to fucking do. Be like, okay, like, you know, I don't know what to do. I have no idea.
I think feeling good mentally also has a lot to do with like physical stuff. So a lot of times, like, I'll text people like, hey, do 10 push-ups.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, hey, I feel like shit. I'm like, okay, do 10 push-ups. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, fucking really. Seriously, go do 10 push-ups.
Yeah, totally.
You're going to feel better if you do 10 push-ups. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just like, you do 10 push-ups, you're going to be like, hey, I did 10 push-ups.
No, totally. I feel that way too. Like, I'm in really bad shape now, and I think it's really affected my mental outlook for sure.
So there you go. So, you know, get people that you care about to, like, take care of themselves, to want to take care of themselves. I think that's the bit, because I don't know what to do either. There's so much stuff, like, you know, check in on your friends and stuff. But like, if I'm doing really bad, I'm not going to let you know, because I don't want you to know, you know? So I have to want to do it for me. Right. So, but everybody has the energy to do 10 push-ups.
Yeah.
Right. So you can do these little tiny things instead of,
And it's tough too, because, you know, not to say that men out there have had it hard, because we haven't, because there's so much privilege
in being
men. No, but
shit's fucked up for us.
But we don't know how to talk to people about emotions. And we don't know how to, like, be conscious or aware of our mental state until we have, like, a gun in our hands and we're like, that's it. I don't know what else to do. So this is the end of it.
So
there's a struggle inherent in all that, for sure.
So I think build each other up in these little ways, you know, because like, if you're not doing well physically, you can't be out in the street.
Yep.
So getting people to care about, well, and realizing that it's all connected, of course, right? Like, your mental health is your physical health, because without one, you can't do the other.
Totally.
Right? So getting people to care about themselves, and like, the only way I'm going to be able to help is like, if I'm performing at a high place.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. So I think maybe organizing for some time is just helping people feel better a little bit, you know, because capitalism has beat us down. It's told us this
yeah.
has told us to be these people that we are, whether it be in terms of racism, tying it back to what we started this episode talking about, or whether that be in terms of like, you know, misogyny or hating ourselves or hating the people we're with or hating the people we love or whatever. Capitalism has imbued us with this unhealthy outlook on life. And shaking that off isn't just simply like, I'm not racist anymore, or I'm not going to be misogynist anymore, or I'm giving up my privilege. It's dealing with all those things.
It's dealing with those things. And, you know, when it comes to mental health, we're going to have to look to each other, because we have the worst fucking healthcare system in the world. And it doesn't, mental health is so specialized that it's fucking expensive. Most people that I know don't have insurance, especially now.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to have to look out for each other when it comes to that. You know, I mean, I can't give people meds if they need it, you know, but
we can get a hold of some meds. Just holler at me. I can get you some meds if I need to get some meds. I got your meds covered. Just talk to straight edge guy.
Hit up Joey. All right.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point, Justin. I think that's organizing. I think that's not organizing a lot of the way people are looking at organizing, but there is organizing in that. There's, you know, having a network of people that you are contacting with, staying in contact with, and organizing that way about mental health and well-being and just building people up.
Yeah, I think to me that's that on-off button that doesn't look like an on-off button. That you gotta, that to me is like the very start of it, is like just take care of yourself. If you take care of yourself, you can take care of your community.
Cool. Justin, I really appreciate you coming out.
Joey, thanks for having me, man. It was fun.
Name of that podcast again is New Monuments. How can people get a hold of that podcast?
It's on Spotify, on Apple. It's, yeah.
New Monuments.
New Monument 77 on Instagram.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Joey.
Get down. All right, let's listen to another tune. This is another tune from that compilation we were talking about earlier in the episode. It's called Shut It Down. You can go to shutitdowncomp.bandcamp.com to check out these tunes. This is a tune from a band called Thou. Folks know Thou. They're incredible. They did a tune for this that's a Bad Religion cover of Kerosene. So here is Thou's Kerosene. Get down. Everywhere I All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you again to Justin for coming out and doing this podcast with us today. Thank you, Justin, so much.
Joey, yeah, it's great being here. Thanks for having me. I hope to get to talk to you more soon.
Well, I really do. You know, we ended the podcast talking about this relationship between health and, I guess, fitness, for lack of a better term, and politics. And that's something that I'm deeply, deeply interested in, have been for years, and have been more so lately. So I would really like for you to come back in the very near future to talk about
that. Yeah, I would love to do that, man. Yeah, let's do that.
And I won't impose my bullshit ideas. That's not true. I probably will impose my bullshit ideas.
Impose away, man.
Stop. Now I will definitely do that. So we're going to have that up hopefully very, very soon. Justin's going to come back. And I want to remind people that we have been socially distant outside in Mother Nature, I guess.
We have not been on the train tracks, so don't worry for our safety. Yeah.
They wish we were on the train tracks at times. But I want to say that we have been following the CDC guidelines as much as we can in recording this podcast. So please don't email me if you think that we are in a studio, because we are not. And you should pay more attention, because there's fucking birds chirping all around us. I want to say thank you to everybody else who's been listening to the podcast. I really appreciate all the feedback, all the comments, all the questions people have been sending us. Hit up dftunderground@gmail.com. If you want to talk more about things you heard on this podcast or get more information about the bands or the conversation that we have had, please holler at us. You can also hit us up on social media at Dispatches from the Underground on Facebook, or you can hit me up personally on Instagram at JoeySteeleNYC. Don't forget, please, please check out New Monuments. That is Justin's podcast. It is on Spotify
and Apple. Yeah,
make sure you check that out. And if there's any way to support Justin in doing what he's doing, is there any way for people to support what you
just listen? Yeah,
Some ratings are huge.
Oh,
for
yeah,
me and
okay,
for
see
Justin.
I'm just getting, I don't know about this stuff.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
yeah.
All you fucking people out there who listen to this goddamn podcast and don't leave ratings, fuck you. I'm gonna find you or track you fucking down. Yeah, go leave a rating, dude. Talk about how much you dig this podcast. It helps a ton. It absolutely huge, huge help. It basically it helps keep the podcast in other people's radars.
Oh,
so
okay.
The more ratings you have, the more likely you are to be recognized by other people. So if you're listening for free to these podcasts, please, at least you can do is go leave a rating. But I will say, you can also leave a donation for this podcast by going to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. There's a donation spot. The show is always free. We never charge for what we do here, but we do appreciate anyone who can leave a donation. We super appreciate that. I want to say thank you also to Gabe and Lauren and G-Fresh and everybody else who's helped. Casey, Nikki, people who've helped make this podcast happen. I really appreciate all their constant support. We will have a new podcast up for you in the relatively near future, so please continue to subscribe. And thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Joey.
New Monuments. Go check it out on Spotify. This is Dispatch from Underground. We'll see you in hell. Get down. Let's listen to another tune. This is a tune from a band called The 1865 right here in New York City. They're an incredible band. They played Punk Island the last time Punk Island happened. They're a staple here in the New York City punk community. They're on this new compilation, Shut It Down, which you can get on shutitdowncomp.bandcamp.com. Here's 1865. Get down. We'll be right back. All right, let's listen to one last tune. We're going to listen to a tune from the band that helped basically organize this Shut It Down compilation that we've been listening to for a lot of the episode today. This is a band called Race Trader. They're from all around the country, I think Chicago originally. But Monty, the lead singer, lives here in New York City, and he has put together... I'm sure he would deny that he put this together, but he has been the organizing force that put this compilation together for Shut It Down. You can go to shutitdowncomp.bandcamp.com to get that compilation. 46 songs, I think, of just incredible punk, hardcore, and metal from all across the country. Some of the best, most political bands out there, including this incredible band, Race Trader, that we're about to listen to. Again, the compilation... The money goes to the Movement for Black Lives. You can go check out more information about that organization by going m4bl.org. That 4 is the number, not the letter. That's m4bl.org. That's Movement for Black Lives. The money's going to that, and the music is going to help get your brain in shape for the fucking future that we need to fucking get down with. So here is Race Trader. Get down.